Alrighty. Well, here we are again. the second time around. But this time, we're notorious for refilming episodes, but we had a good reason this time. We had something happen to us.
Something devastating.
Something absolutely devastating. Let's set the scene a little bit. This episode's going to be about Clubhouse for the most part.
And our thoughts,
because before now, we hadn't really had any thoughts on Clubhouse. We were just talking about it, but never used it. So we
were giving our thoughts on something that we had never experienced ourselves.
Yes.
And that is not something you should do.
We both kind of took a deep dive into it. I had about a week that I went real hard into it.
Yeah, you were obsessed with it. Every time I logged in, I saw your little icon popped up there, just waiting to be called on.
Yeah, so
getting in rooms, networking.
It's a great networking tool, I will say.
Yep.
You know, overall rating of it's pretty high for me. But we'll get into all that. We almost started clubhousing. I think that's what you call it. Clubhousing by accident. We just kind of found ourselves in a room one day.
Yep.
And it went well. People really liked it. For the most part, rooms are just fucking, they're dead. It's like a funeral.
Yeah. There's a huge lack of charisma going on in a lot of these rooms for sure. There's a lot of the same topics being discussed. A lot of people like to hear themselves talk.
That's a big one.
You could kind of, you know, pinpoint who those people are because they kind of go on for 5-10 minutes sometimes at a time, and you could just hear the energy being sucked out of the room. But it's crazy. You can't really tell unless people are actually leaving the room.
Yeah.
So you can't tell how pissed off people actually are when someone's talking.
I know. It's weird. It's hard to get used to at first, I will say, because there's no reaction to when you talk, and we're very reactionary.
Yes, we're very reactionary, and we really care about people's reactions. Yeah. So if we say something funny and no one is laughing, it's devastating.
So what we've done is we've had room crashing. So we've been Clubhouse. We've called ourselves Clubhouse crashers. So we go in together and we take over rooms. People let us up to speak. We don't leave each other hanging. So I mean, the etiquette right now, it seems, is you talk, then you mute yourself. We throw that out the fucking window. We can't have that because we have to, like I said, react to each other. So
exactly.
I say a joke, you laugh, I know it's funny.
Yes. And then we need that reinforcement, that reassurance. And yes. We have been doing a good job at laughing at each other's jokes.
Yeah.
And we kind of have like a set routine going on, which we actually have to switch up because I think we're getting the same attendees in multiple rooms, probably catching on that we're saying the exact same thing every time.
Yes.
So basically, you know, Matt goes up there and talks about authenticity and his videos, and you know, you have the whole horse routine about how it's good to be an agent and then have some sort of hobby. Like if you're a horseback rider, then I make fun of you for talking about horses, and then we make fun of each other's headshots.
Yeah.
But the banter. Or your lack thereof, a headshot. Exactly. The banter has been great, and we've gotten a lot of really positive feedback from it because some of these rooms are just so serious. Like I was in a Zillow killer room the other day, and they were talking about color coding your calendar and time management and all this shit that nobody cares about. It was so boring.
I can't believe some people stay in those rooms. I
know.
Why would you do that? And also, I'm worried for some people that it doesn't seem like anyone's getting any work done anymore. It's in those fucking rooms all day.
So, sometimes you hear the moderator say like, well, you know, we've been here for about 3 hours now. I think it's time to wrap it up. It's like, wait, what? 3 hours? How?
I know. Are
you guys are all realtors? What's going on here?
Fuck, man. But so it just kind of, we happened upon a room. Someone messaged me 2 weeks ago or whatever, said, hey, these people are talking about you in a room. I had not gone on Clubhouse prior to that, so I didn't even know.
How good did you feel when they said that, by the way?
I was like, I spent the next fucking 20 minutes trying to get into the room. I couldn't. Yeah. I didn't know how to get in. But it was incredible. So then I went in. Since they're talking about me, they let me up right away. And I guess we didn't plan this at all. You saw my name and you jumped in. Mm-hmm. And then they made me a moderator, and then I invited you up, and we kind of took the room over. I think we provided a lot of value.
We did.
A lot of banter. I think the banter was something that just hadn't been heard before on Clubhouse.
We're the first people to ever banter on Clubhouse.
I would say so.
In the history of the app. No, yes. But I think we are revolutionaries in the sense that it's in at least the real estate space. Obviously, we are being facetious. We are not the first people to ever banter on Clubhouse. But in these real estate rooms, you don't hear any shit talking.
No.
You hear people just talking about authenticity. I mean, that's just all you hear about.
Yeah, it's authenticity and value. Those are the keywords in Clubhouse.
And consistency.
Yeah, consistency is key.
And not caring what people think. But we've had a lot of experiences from the moderator perspective, from joining rooms, from listening. And our first experience, I think, was the room you just mentioned. But then we actually set up a room, whereas me, you, Dan O'Neill, and Ben Fisher. So that was kind of our first attempt at, let's see if we could do this by ourselves. And it went okay, I would say.
Yeah, we haven't tried it again. We should, because now we have more followers and shit from our routine, from our Clubhouse crashing. So that first room, we came in, we did banter. We stayed in there for a good hour, I would say. It was fun. It was the first time. People were loving it. The room was growing. That's how you know. If the room is growing, it's a good room. If everyone just fucking keeps leaving. And this one guy came in and he just The TikTok guy took all the fun. He just drained the room completely.
He kind of came after me a little bit, I feel like, because I was having a very vulnerable moment where I was describing to the crowd, the massive crowd, that sometimes I will get self-conscious about a post and maybe I'll pull it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see how the engagement's doing. Maybe if I post something that people don't like or it offends people, maybe I'll question that content and you know, readjust. And I thought that was a pretty good statement. And of course he comes in and is just like, oh, I don't care what people think.
Yeah.
You can't care what people think, which is just the easiest thing to say to
such sound an easy
cool.
thing. He wanted to sound like such a badass. He thought he was going to come into the room, be like, well, I don't care what people think. I'm this and that. And I was like, dude, do you even know like the broke eight? Like, do you know the content that is
the whole
produced?
Point is we're joking about not caring what people think, but we do care what people think.
Yes,
everybody.
Of course. Yeah. Of course we don't want to offend a bunch of people. Like, no, I would never, you know, our intent is never to offend anyone. And the topic was, you know, we don't want to offend anyone, but we'll swear and stuff like that. And we understand that can somewhat be offensive to some people, but you know, at the end of the day, we're not going into big political views or like anything that's really gonna fucking, you know what I mean? So, and this guy's came and was, I'm just me. I'm always me.
Yeah, it's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like,
we've heard
this so many times before. It provided absolutely no value
whatsoever.
The guy loved hearing himself talk. And the second he came in, it's crazy how just one person can suck the energy out of a room. I mean, it's just, it's so evident.
And you heard it. Everyone's on mute. Yep. You heard it. Like you said,
I know.
You fucking heard it. And everyone left. And now, since you can pretty much gauge if you like someone the first time on Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy's popped up a couple more times. He's doing the same circuit.
It's crazy that the circuit, that's a great way to describe it. That's what people do, because if you pop into a room, you could hear the same speaker saying the same exact same thing in that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a problem because
it's going to get old real quick.
That's why we're taking a little break from it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we went hard the last couple of weeks, but now I think we're realizing like, all right, you know what? Let's let people want us a little bit. You know, we can't just keep popping in every room.
No, we want to charge for these fucking rooms. We can't just be in there every day. No. So, but a good, if you want to tell someone to fuck off without telling them to fuck off, I've found, so this guy has been in a couple rooms, and as soon as he comes in, I wait until he talks. Because I'm usually a moderator, and then as soon as he says his first word, I fucking leave.
That's great.
And I've done it.
Leave quietly.
Yeah, leave quietly.
Your face is no longer there. That's
exactly.
Genius.
So I've done it about 5 or 6 times to that individual. Yeah. So I think he knows, and that's just a polite way of saying, you know, fuck.
Imagine
off.
If the entire room of moderators just left every time this guy spoke. We should use his name, but we won't, because he'll probably be listening to this on ideas on how to actually.
Yeah,
make his Clubhouse experience better. But that's a great tactic. And another tactic that we found is great is, at least for each other, if you're telling a joke mm-hmm. I will turn off my mic so that you know that I'm ready to say something.
Yeah.
Or it also fucks with you a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's another way. If someone's talking, you could keep turning your mic on and off as yes. if to interject. It's a little good comedic tool.
It is good. Because every time someone asks me a question, Eric's mic goes on immediately.
Yeah.
So it's great. And then we so that was good. I mean, we did that room. I think we did a couple others. They're successful. And then we mm-hmm. built up some steam. We got asked to do a good room, a big room. Yes. Are we,
yeah.
Can we mention the main guy or should we just leave it?
Yeah, let's mention. I mean, okay. We're going to have him on the podcast. I like yes. this guy. So.
Oh, he's a great guy. Fantastic. What's his guy. Name? Tom Ferry. Tommy F.
Oh, no. But who's the guy that invited us into the room?
Oh, Zach.
Zach.
And Zach and Jason.
Yes, Zach and Jason Pantana. Jason Pantana is one of Tom's coaches. Big in the speaking circuit. Super nice guy. I've met him. I like Jason.
Oh, I love all three. All three of those guys are super nice.
Super nice guys. Great guys. But we have found that being invited into a room to speak beforehand is a way different experience than Clubhouse crashing. I like Clubhouse crashing way more. There's no pressure.
No expectation. You can just kind of
pop in and make a few jokes. We're out. The conversation being driven is not our, is the onus is not on us.
Yes.
But we got invited to this room and it was Tom Ferry, biggest big real estate coach in the world, the Gary V of real estate.
Yeah.
Jason Pantana. Who else?
There's some other people. Mm-hmm. So this room went south near the end.
It went south immediately, I would say.
Well, the thing is it started bad. Then it got very good. I thought we were really fucking building mm-hmm. up steam. And then some guy just fucking, and I don't know if we should say any names. I had a lot of fantastic titles for this episode mm-hmm. to pun his name.
Clubhouse Crashing is the title.
Yes. My wife told me to leave his name out of it.
Yes. I think we should, because apparently he is, you know, a wizard of the real estate industry.
Yeah, I'd beg to differ.
Protected member of the real estate mafia. But I just want to say, leading up to this room, before we get into the occurrence, I was nervous as hell. Because once I realized, because this guy, Zach, who first of all bullied us into this room, which this is a thing, by the way, you get bullied into rooms where people he just sent us an invite out of nowhere. You know, he randomly said like, hey, let's do a room, you know, me, you and Tom. And I said, yes. And then sure enough, there was a poster. There was I don't know if there was a poster, but there was a calendar. There's no poster, but there was a calendar invite. And I was just like, all right, I guess I'm doing this. And the entire day, I was super nervous about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just because I knew that this was going to be a little bit different. And I knew that Tom would be kind of moderating a little bit. And kind of treating it like a panel. I don't know to what extent, but like I said, I like crashing more than actual moderating.
Yeah, I like, there's no expectation with crashing. I wasn't nervous. You know Tom way more. You know all the guys more than I do. But my first kind of speak into it, I was like, okay, this is different. No one is, I tried to make a joke right off the bat. I thought it was pretty funny saying that
my introduction was underwhelming.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought it was good.
Yeah. And then people clapped with their mute on and off. That's how you clap. Mm-hmm. And then I like said my bit and Tom was kind of going back and forth with everyone. And the etiquette, like I said, I was trying to be, just do what the etiquette is. So I said my bit and I went on mute. And then Tom goes, oh, well, you muted yourself. Okay, next.
Yeah. No follow-up to what you said or anything like that. It was so structured. And usually these are conversations. But I guess if you had 9 or 10 people, he was kind of treating it like it was a real estate conference.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say, yeah.
And Clubhouse, at least from my experience, is better when it's kind of more of a conversation. So I think it made it so formal that, you know, when they got to me, he was like, so Eric, you know, like, do you have any thoughts on branding? And everybody else had these kind of like pre-rehearsed pitches. And I was I think I even said like, oh God,
we didn't.
Like, no, I don't have any thoughts on branding. I mean, I do, but I don't want to sound preachy.
Yes.
So I told this story. One of the guys in the room had a hosted a conference, the 1,000-watt conference, and you could deduce his name by this information if you would like. And 5 years ago, when I first started The Broke Agent, he invited me to the conference. And this is the story that I told when Tom asked me about branding. He invited me to speak at the conference, but 2 weeks prior, the person I started The Broke Agent with, Wes Pinkston, and I broke up. We went our separate ways. I became the sole proprietor of the LLC of The Broke Agent. And, you know, it was a rough breakup because we did this for, I mean, everything's amicable now, but so I get invited to speak at this. And when I'm speaking, sitting in the front row is Wes Pinkston, the guy that I had just, you know, ended the relationship with, essentially talking about the baby that we had both created. So obviously this was extremely awkward and terrifying, and I had no idea what to say and completely botched it. It was one of the worst speaking gig, you know, things I've ever done. And then afterwards, I still wanted to be a part of the 1,000-watt community and, like, you know, have them help out with my branding and everything. And I reached out to the guy that founded 1,000-watt, and he was like, yeah, we like your brand, but we just don't want to be associated with it. So that was kind of like a crushing blow. So I told that story. I thought it went off well. I don't know. What do you think?
It did went. Yeah, it went off very well. And then everything was great. That guy was very nice at that point.
Yes, he was at that point. He was like, because I asked him, I said, you know, I think about this every day, like, you in the same situation, knowing that he's probably forgot who I was.
Yeah.
And he had a good response to that. So I thought the story at least kind of brought some humanity to the room, because everybody totally was just kind of, you know, launching out quotes from people talking about their favorite books and shit.
Yeah. It's a fucking, yeah, it was a book club for about 15 minutes there.
It really was.
I didn't know. I was hoping they weren't asking me for a fucking book.
Oh my God. What would you have said?
I would have said Commission Impossible.
Yeah, exactly. That's my cartoon book, by the way. Get it on Amazon. Yes. Or you can just DM me for a copy. I got 6 million right now.
It was stacked in his one of his bedrooms.
I'm sitting on one right now, actually.
And then and then it started off weird. You said that, and I found when you said that, your little bit there, it started getting a little more like, okay, we're starting to get the ball rolling a little bit.
Okay, we're humans here.
Yeah, exactly. Because then everyone else, a couple other people did their bit, and then it was kind of more of an open conversation for a bit. Yeah. So someone was saying, and this is when it really started getting good in my eyes, someone was saying how, like, you know, my content or your content isn't necessarily useful to them. Yes. So they could repost and think it's funny, but it's not actually, there's no value to the content other than it's funny. And then,
which is the most valuable thing in the world, by the way.
Yes, but, yeah. I'd agree. And then you said, oh, you kind of cut her off and you said, oh, you're saying my content's not useful.
I think I said, like, my open house memes aren't useful.
Yeah. Something like that. And then everyone was laughing and it was good. And all
it was
good
playful. Fun. It was playful banter.
Very, very playful. Very good. Everyone went on, and then there's a little bit of a blank, just like a pause. And then I said, so, you know, in large, you know, yes, no, everyone thinks you're useless. And then I got some good laughs.
And then at this point, we're feeling good.
Oh, we're feeling
the room
great.
Is back. Tom Ferry left.
No, he was still there.
Oh, he was still there at this point.
And even Tom was laughing and getting into it. And then Tom was like, okay, I got to go. But you guys still go for a bit.
And when he left, I felt like, I love Tom. But when he left, I was like, weight off my shoulder, time to go ham now.
It's, you like, because
he was
kind of, like, you're fucking
leading the moderation.
It's like your parents are going out for dinner
exactly
when you're in high school and you're having a party. Yeah. It's like, let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go. Exactly.
So exactly was my
feeling. We love Tom. We just,
he's an awesome guy.
The moderation, you know, we wanted to jump through that basically and just get on with the jokes.
Yeah, exactly. We were waiting for this all night. So this is probably about 45 minutes in now. So we were really waiting. Mm-hmm. And then Zach took over as moderator and
he crushes
right off the bat.
He's an ally. You know, you could just tell sometimes who an ally in the room is.
So I guess, see, we kind of missed a part of the story because in that banter, someone, you know, because I was talking about swearing again, and you were too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was saying, you know, my intent's never to offend anyone, but the way I grew up, swearing, it just wasn't offensive or wasn't like a big deal. So it didn't register that it would be like a big deal to swear in my videos or whatever. And I was just pretty much saying that, you know, I'm just not too precious with my brand. Before I was being precious with a brand, I didn't have all that shit. And then some girl came with a rebuttal, and it was, oh, well, we live in a world of cancel culture. So, right. And then me and you we kind of teamed up there, and with Zach as well. Mm-hmm. And so, well, listen, like Zach said, you know, as long as we're, good people, like really good people, like all we're doing is dropping a couple fucking F-bombs. You know,
we're not sexually assaulting people on our staff from a high political office.
Exactly. Like we're not doing anything. We're just dropping a couple F-bombs. That's all. And then that kind of got, you know, that was all good and normal. It was just a nice little back and forth. And then Tom leaves. Zach takes over. And we're ready. Like we said, we're ready.
Locked and loaded.
Now I got my script.
I'm pacing around the room. Script is out.
We're texting.
The scene is ready. Yeah, we're texting throughout this. God, let's fucking go. It's time. It's game time.
And then this guy just goes. Well, let's
set the table a little bit more.
Okay.
Because Jason Pantana said some quote. He said some like, I forgot what it was. See, he quoted somebody.
Yeah.
And he always does this. And Tom always does this. And they're quoting people. They're pulling from books. They're, you know, saying like, blah, 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 just said. And then I cut in with Jason, who I know. So it was okay to do this. And I just said, like, you know, how do you have all these like quotes ready in hand? Like, I've never met anyone like this. Like, how do you always like, you know, regurgitating these like talking points? And that like brought it back down to a human level. Again, he laughed, people laughed.
Yeah.
And then one of the women on the panel said like, ha ha ha, like you're so funny. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then the 1,000-watt guy cut in and said, I think we're being a little self-indulgent here.
Yes. The last 10 minutes.
The last 10 minutes of us, you know, laughing, having a good time. And then he also called you out.
Yes. Yes, he called me out for the swearing. So he said self-indulgent last 10 minutes because we weren't really providing value in his eyes, which I find hilarious because he just took it upon himself to assume everyone thinks the same way as him.
Which is the most self-indulgent thing in the world. And right after he says self-indulgent, he went on this meandering soliloquy about God knows what. And everybody lost interest again. And when I say everybody, I mean me.
Everybody. All I could think of when he finished was that scene in Billy Madison. But he said, the guy's like, everyone in this room is now dumber.
Yes.
I award you no points.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. So he called me out for the swearing. He said, you know, oh, I'm from wherever the fuck I'm from. I'm no stranger to swearing, but I don't do it in my professional life and all this bullshit. So he's literally calling you out for being self-indulgent, me out for swearing and offending people. And he thinks at this point he's bringing value. But really he's just digging a hole at this point.
Really he was just bringing down the entire room. So he says that, and then you and I both kind of went silent because we were kind of shocked because we were grooving. It's like you're in the zone in golf or basketball or something like that, and then you miss a shot, even though it wasn't self-induced actually. So it's not like that at all.
No,
there's a random timeout or something, and then you know all your momentum is crushed.
It was just, it was our first. We were asked to do this. It wasn't our room. We didn't really feel maybe it was our place to jump in, to respond. He's, you know, I'm not gonna, he's not with it. I don't think he's with the times anymore.
I think he thought that maybe the self-indulgence was coming from us trying to get laughs.
Yeah.
Trying to get laughs, I guess, sometimes is self-indulgent, and I could like understand that a little, but we're not preaching and going off on things. We're literally like cutting in, interjecting, and saying quick little jokes to just bring humanity into it again.
Yeah, make it
like 50 times already.
Make it not boring and like
make the room entertained. That's why they have us in there.
And dude, not like people fucking paid $100 for this.
No,
they came in because they wanted to. They could leave whenever the fuck they want.
Yes.
No.
Very good point.
It's free shit. I can say whatever the fuck I want for that 45 minutes.
Exactly. We're trying to get followers. We're trying to get people to listen to our podcast. Yes. We're trying to get people to like us. We're,
yes.
You know, if we provide value while we do that, great. You know, that's the ultimate goal, of course.
And
but like anytime Matt and I talk in one of these, the entire goal, at least for me, is for them to be like, I want to hear those dudes talk more. I don't want to hear this guy talk and talk about book recommendations.
Yeah.
I want to hear them, you know, shit on each other.
And that should always be the goal, especially in our business, to get people to like you.
Yes.
That's especially on these social platforms. That's why I find it like everyone throws out the professional, but like, and like, oh, people need to trust you. Well, people need to like you first or they're not going to fucking call you. You can gain their trust once they call you or follow you or DM, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to get that call or follow or DM if they don't like you, unless they're telling you to fuck off.
And who are they going to trust more? The person, you know, spewing out these pre-rehearsed lines of, you know, preachy branding and authenticity and stuff, or the people that are actually having a conversation? I mean, there's thousands of replications of these people that go on just to hear themselves talk, that go on in each room, say the exact same thing, preach the exact same thing, and then somehow gain a following just because anyone can be an expert on Clubhouse.
Yes.
And we're not trying to be experts. We're literally just trying to be funny.
Yeah. No. And we never claim to be experts.
No.
And the funny thing about that was like, all we were doing was giving an opinion and telling people what works for us. We're not saying, telling everyone to go do that. We're just saying, you know, I've done this and this has worked for me.
Yeah.
Maybe it will, you know, spark something in someone to say, oh, well, maybe I can do this in this way. That's all it was. Just, you know, saying what works for us and that's it. I think that guy is a, you know,
hack.
I think he was good at his job when like print media was very big.
I think he has his lane and he's probably still really good. The guy's a highly respected.
I don't know who he is. Operator. I literally don't know. And that's what I want to, and that's my, I don't, you know, all these people, I don't know who the fuck most of these people are. So, but I knew he was someone. So, I still don't know who he is. I haven't looked him up, with his responses. I would never work with him. So
you don't want to work with me. I don't want to work with him. None of our brands align. I think that's good.
And that's fine. And he's fine. Yes. And he's going to get, and this was what the whole room was about. Like you're going to attract like-minded people and, you know, he's going to attract people who like that kind of stuff and analytical and like to go on 15-minute rants. Those type of people are going to love him. And that's amazing. Our people aren't going to work with him.
No.
His people aren't going to work with us. That's fine. That's all.
It's fine.
That's it. That's fine.
Yeah. And you know, Matt and I were pissed. We were texting afterwards. We called each other to dissect the room, which we always do.
Yes. Right.
You know, we always call, dissect the room, analyze our jokes, talk about what we could do better, which is pretty, it's funny. You know, it's fun to do, of course, but
yes.
You know, we even got on, we're like, dude, we got to do a new routine. Like we got to stop joking about our profile pictures. Like we'll come up with more shit. But you know, we were both really pissed off that we didn't rebut this guy.
Yes.
Like we both just sat silent. And then I basically left the room right after that.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. It was maybe kind of a soft move.
We were just,
but I was
on
just
the
pissed.
Phone.
I was like, okay, if this guy's going to call me self-indulgent, I'm not being funny anymore. See ya.
I was so fucking mad too. And we were talking on the phone and I was pacing back and forth. And my wife was listening to the conversation, just fucking rolling her eyes. Like
she's got to think we're such idiots.
she was like, and I'm telling her, I was like, you know what? I should have told that guy to go fuck himself. And then she's rolling her eyes. Like,
she's
okay.
Like
what
do you guys think?
Can we start dinner or something? Like, fuck off with your Clubhouse shit. Like,
telling some random dude to go fuck himself on Clubhouse when no one else cared about the situation besides us, most likely.
But, so I guess, what we're trying to say here is,
yeah, what's the moral?
Clubhouse is a great app. A couple people are really going to piss you off. Okay. That's fine. You know, unless someone's really coming at you, like I wouldn't say this guy, I wish he would have just came at us and said, Matt and Eric, I don't think you did a good job.
Yeah.
Instead of beating around the bush and like everyone knew he was talking about us. But yeah, we just wanted to give you some tips on how to tell people to fuck off without telling them to fuck off.
Yeah, just leave. Leave quietly.
Yeah.
In the room. That's a good move.
You could also just what Kanye did to T Swift. You could pull one of those and just that's a way more of a dick move. If you just like totally come in and you're like, no, I'm gonna stop you right there.
It would be great to get get super alpha with it and just start telling people to fuck off the second they start talking, or just turn on your mic and be like, boring.
Well,
this guy sucks.
Some people deserve it, unfortunately.
I know.
Some people get on there, like you said, just to hear themselves talk. One lady was saying how her videos are so big in her town that she can't even go to the grocery store without being recognized.
Yeah, she's trying to pick up a box of cereal.
She raised her hand to come in to tell that story. So she said, you never know. You never know who's watching. And I'm like, none of this happened.
Yeah, she had one reel that got 1,500 views, and now she can't even, you know, push her cart through Safeway. Give me a fucking break.
She can't go fucking buy some Lucky Charms at fucking the grocery store anymore. So, yeah, it's a good app for the most part. A lot of great people, a lot of great insights, a lot of great keyword value to be had. I would say from my experience, try and diversify your rooms. Like I just kept going to the three same rooms and all the same people just kept coming in. So I just, by day three, it was just the same thing.
There's it's a great place to get more followers on your other platforms. You said you were picking up a ton of followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
So your profile's got to be epic, because while you're speaking, they're going to click on your profile, obviously connect your Instagram, your Twitter, whatever else you can, but your profile there, like you got to have a captive status about yourself. So mine says, you know, number one platform for real estate, entertainment, comedy, whatever. So it's got to like, and you can have like essays in your bio. There's people that have like a million links. There's people that have their awards and everything like that. But as long as your bio is capturing, people will follow you and check out your other platforms.
Yeah, totally. And that's what's so good about it, is you can leave the app and it still works.
Yes.
That's the best. That's the best part of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not like people can choose TikTok or Instagram. It's the same thing. You know, it's very similar, and you could choose one you like more and spend more of your time on it. You can't load any photos or video onto Clubhouse. So people have to go somewhere else to see your brand and everything. That's what's so great. And that's why I think it's going to stay around. I think it's always going to have a place. It's very hot right now. Like I said, I think if people just keep doing the same rooms and the same people keep showing up, but I mean, that's what they're trying. They're trying to grow their room. So they're doing this every day to try and grow the room and get more people in. So I get it. But
I like when people reset the room. You ever been in a clubhouse long enough where the same moderator just like resets the room every 10 minutes? Like, yeah, I'd like to reset the room right now. This is what we're talking about. Some people are so good at that.
They're fucking, they have a bunch of radio voices.
Yeah, they're just experts. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's, all in all, maybe 7 out of 10 for me.
Agreed. Yeah. I like the aspect that content doesn't live on there.
Yes.
Because we have so many places to post, and we've said this a bunch, but TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn now, there's just so many places to upload content. Clubhouse is nice to just pop on, see if there's an interesting conversation, maybe get in there, maybe pick up a few Instagram followers, get people to like you. You know, attribute a voice to the brand. I think it's a really good move. And if you're not on it yet, just check it out. You don't have to talk. You can literally just sit there and consume.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do talk, just be a human.
Yes. Just be, exactly. Don't script thing. I mean, we kind of said that we had a routine, but it's,
it was a naturally developed routine. Though.
We don't write things down. And just, you know, if you have something of value or something you want to say that might actually help, then say it. And that's that. I like Clubhouse.
Follow us at The Broke Agent. At me, Matt Leonetti.
And at Overass Podcast.
Or you could just listen to this podcast. It's better than Clubhouse because then there's no one else interrupting us.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you don't get a bunch of fucking assholes coming in trying to say it's just us. So,
yeah. By the way, rate our podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you can. It helps if you like it.
Yes. Well, even if you don't, just do us a solid. And also congrats to Ryan Serhant. He has officially released the #2 real estate podcast of all time.
Yep.
Behind us, of course. So, you know.
Surprised you didn't mention that on your podcast with him.
I know. Well, that's okay. He said
so many things going on. Now the guy's got a fucking podcast. Do you think he'll ever have us on?
Well, I mean, we're #1. So right. I think it would be beneficial for him to have us on. But he'll get there. I mean, maybe if we just take a couple weeks off or something, he might take the #1 spot. I don't know. But congrats to him. I'm sure it's going to
do pretty well. I think we need to start playing more hard to get with Ryan, both of us.
Yes.
I think we got to stop DMing him. We got to stop talking about him.
Yeah.
We just got to let him come to us a little bit
more. Yes, he will. He will, especially now, because, you know, we could grow his podcast to extraordinary levels.
Heights.
Yeah. Yes. But congrats to him. If you're watching this and haven't tagged Drake in my Drake video, please do that. I'm looking to be his real estate agent. I thought I just woke up one day and thought, you know what, I'd like to be Drake's real estate agent. So
how's the video performing?
Very well. Very well. Good. A lot of people are getting behind it. So thank you for whoever, you know, anyone who has tagged Drake. I appreciate it.
Nothing better than a well-performing video. A good performing video.
Yes.
It just makes your entire day better.
Yeah. When it hits,
you're just getting that dopamine every engagement.
It's good. You know. It's good because you put a lot of effort into it. So, you know, you like to know that people enjoy.
You're having a good day today. I could see it in your mood. Last week you posted something you weren't too stoked on.
No.
A lot of back and forth. Should I pull it? Should I pull it from my feed? Why isn't it doing well? Do IGTVs take longer to develop? No one's tagging anybody. The only responses are coming from my friends. And it all resonated with me because I get that all the time, but it was funny to just see the anxiety.
We're very similar people in that way.
Is it the time I posted?
I know,
because my last video didn't do well?
It's never the content.
No, it's never the content. Is it the lighting? Is it the caption I use?
The lighting.
Is it because I changed the caption and then Instagram knew the algorithm's fucking me?
A lot goes through your head when it's a bad performing video. A lot goes through your fucking head. Yeah.
The time of day.
Yeah, there's always something. Like I said, never the content. Can't be that. So that's got to be all the other things.
100%.
But yeah, that was our Clubhouse episode. Maybe we'll do another one in a couple months. See how we still like it. Try it out. You can only get it if you have an iPhone, apparently. So
we suck at wrapping these episodes.
I know it's fucking forever. But try it out.
Just gotta get on Clubhouse.
Just go to fucking Clubhouse.
It's easy. If you don't have an invite, I mean, just get a fucking invite.
I have 9. You know? So if you need one, just, I don't know how it works. I have 9.
Yep.
So, all right.
Peace.
Take care.